Pramarpanam brahmahave brahmagna brahmanahutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. Read the translation again. This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Transcendental Knowledge. In the previous chapters being described Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means that we should offer the results of our work for the higher purpose. That is particularly by the process of sacrifice. The whole Vedic society or Varnashram society was meant for yajna. Under the guidance of the brahmanas and the organization of the king, yajnas would be performed. And by these yajnas, the work that everyone did was offered to Vishnu. This yajna is only possible by the cooperation of all the people in society. Take the chair. And although the yajna might be performed officially in the name of the king as the yajaman, but actually all those who are under his guidance, they all benefit. So in the ordinary understanding, these yajnas, they are supposed to lead to transcendental knowledge. So in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, yajna is being described. And the transcendental nature of that is being described. That although everything involved might appear to be material, because it is offered to Vishnu, it all becomes spiritual. The persons involved, the place involved, the ingredients involved might appear to be material. But because they are offered, as you said, to Bhagavan Vishnu, who is fully spiritual, then everything becomes spiritualized. In Kali Yuga, only one yajna is recommended. That is Sankirtan Yajna. Now, the other systems of yajna cannot be perfect and complete in this age. To perform yajna, a purified place is required. But practically everywhere in the modern age is contaminated in various ways, most prominently by sinful activities which pollute the whole atmosphere. And to perform the system of Vaidic Yajna, Vaidic Brahmanas are required. Yeah, and there should be Shuddhaman, but it's difficult to find. The performance of Yajna depends on the purity and expertise of the Brahmins. By purity, that refers to their ritual purity. Pavitrata, I guess you could say. There's a difference between between Shuddha and Pavitra. The term Shuddha, that generally refers to the state of consciousness, whereas Pavitra, that refers to the cleanliness of the body and all this more external considerations. Yeah, Shuddhata, that's generally applied to the consciousness. So the rules of Pavitrata, how to remain ritually pure, and nowadays no one knows. So if these are not followed, then no Vedic rituals can be perfect. There are so many rules in Vedic culture which are to be followed to maintain pavitrata, ritual purity. And this is required, this ritual purity is required for various reasons. One reason is that if we're to perform yajna or puja, obviously we have to be very clean. Another reason is that unless there is external purity, then there's no question of internal purity, generally speaking. For one who is fully pure by always remembering Krishna, these considerations do not
they're not so important. Pavitra, apavitra, va, whether one is ritually pure or not. Sarva-vastogatopiva, in any situation. That means that even the pure brahmanas, sometimes they're pure and sometimes not. It means after resting or passing stool, whatever, they have to take bath before they can again perform the ritual activities. But yasmarat pundarikaksha sabhayabhyantara shuchihi, who always remembers pundarikaksha, Krishna, who has eyes just like lotus petals, he's always considered pure externally and internally. The external purity is required for helping one to acquire internal purity, but one who is internally pure by always remembering Krishna, then for him the external purity is considered included. So sometimes we see devotees, if they worship their deities without following all the rules and regulations, they're always pure. The devotees are always pure. They don't need to follow all the rules. That is called bhava-seva. One who doesn't have that bhava, he should not try to imitate this. And even if one has bhava, then just to teach others, he should also follow the rules and regulations of ritual purity. So anyway, the general situation is that for performing Vedic yajnas, the requirements, it's not possible to fulfill in the modern age. There are no kings, there are no real kings, there are no real Vedic brahmanas. It's very difficult to find a pure place or a pure sponsor of the yajna. It's more or less a hopeless situation. How can anyone be purified in a situation where everyone's just unclean, impure, sinful? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given a revolutionary process. Practically just overthrowing all the Vedic understanding. Just chant Hare Krishna. Everything will be fulfilled. Yaha hoite sarva siddhi hoive shubha. By this process of chanting Hare Krishna, everyone will achieve all perfection. This is very difficult for people to understand who are addicted to the Vedic processes. That's why when the Srila Prabhupada brought the first devotees from the Western countries to India, you might be surprised to know there was actually a lot of opposition from Orthodox Hindus. And saying, these people can't be Hindus. They don't know all the rules and regulations. They don't know Sanskrit. They shouldn't know Sanskrit because they're not allowed. They don't have Vedic culture. They're not born in Brahmana families. And in all ways, they appear to be very rough and gross. Whereas to follow the ritual activities of Hinduism, one requires to be in sattva-gun. You should know so many rules and regulations, sadhacha. But Srila Prabhupada defended that these persons, they can perform sacrifice. How can they perform sacrifice? They don't even know how to use right hand, left hand. Sometimes you'll see them eating with their left hand and you're not sure which hand they might be using in the bathroom. But Srila Prabhupada defended that because they're chanting Hare Krishna, all the apparent disqualifications are overcome. Srila Prabhupada would often quote from Kapiladeva's instructions, Aho bata svapa chatogari and yaj jivagri vartate nama tubhyam tapas tapas te juhuvo sasna aya brahman ucha uchur nama gunanti yete. That it's actually Devahuti speaking to Kapiladeva. She says that those who constantly keep your name on their tongue, Harinam on their tongue. By this activity alone, it is understood that they have already surpassed all the other Vedic processes. One who is always chanting Harinam is understood to have already performed all austerities, visited all the holy places, studied all the Vedas, and done whatever else is required according to the Vedic processes. So that might not seem to be true. It might seem that someone is very roughly behaved. But if they're chanting the holy names of Krishna, it is understood that they are at least entering the spiritual atmosphere. They are taking part in the Sankirtan Yajna, which is fully spiritual, even more so than the Karma Kandiya Yajnas of the Vedas. Because this Sankirtan Yajna, it is directly pleasing to Krishna. Now, I don't know how you're going to translate this, but it's not a spiritualized process, but it is a directly spiritual process. It is directly pleasing to Krishna. Now, people think, well, how is that a yajna? Yajna means there should be yajna kund and fire, brahmanas. They're the fire of Sankirtan. There are seven flames. Just like it's described in the Vedas, there are, within the sacrificial fire, there are seven flames. So the seven flames of the Sankirtan Yajna, they are Chitu Darpana Marjanam. The one flame has the effect of cleansing the mirror of the heart. Bhavamaha Davadni Nirvapanam, extinguishing the fire of repeated, the blazing fire, the great fire of the great forest fire of repeated birth and death. Shreya Kairava Chandraka Vitaranam, it spreads the rays of the benediction. Vidyavadhu Jivanam is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam expands the ocean of transcendental bliss. Pratipadam Purnamritasvadhanam enables us to taste at every step the full nectar. Sarvatma Snapanam, it is fully cleanses the entire being. These are the flames of the Sankirtan Yajna, fire of the Sankirtan Yajna. It's very easy to take part in Sankirtan Yajna. There is no material qualification required. It is not required that one become a very expert brahmana, nor is it required that one amass much wealth to be offered. Simply, one has to chant the names of Krishna. However, there is some pre-qualification. There's no material qualification for taking part in Sankirtan Yajna, but some spiritual qualification is required. In 1989, I was at the Kumbh Mela. Maybe you know that's in Prayag, the great gathering of so many sadhus. So, with one god brother, I was wandering from just to see what are all these sadhus, what are they all saying, and all this. We were just having a look around. So we heard there was some famous Falahari Baba. He only eats fruit. That's his qualification. So people think that's something very great. If it'd been Krishna Premi Baba, then that would be actually, if he was actually full of Krishna Prem, that would be something wonderful. In Chaitanya Leela, there's a story of one brahmachari, very strict brahmachari. He only drinks milk. And Srinivas Thakur wanted to introduce him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being a very qualified person, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry at him. And you think, Father, by drinking milk, you can understand Krishna, that is drinking milk, that because you don't eat any food, just by drinking milk, that's some qualification. So anyway, you went to see this Falahari Baba, as he was called. And he asked us, so what are you doing, what are you following? And we said, we're following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he asked us, so what is the most important teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's like he wanted to show he knew more than us. So we quoted, we started quoting Trinadapi Sunichena, and he cut us out and said, no, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. I was just thinking, if we started to say Cheto Darpana Marjanam, he might have cut us out and said Trinadapi Sunichena. He just wanted to show that he was right and we didn't know what we were doing. But actually, ignorant, he wasn't. The Sankirtan, that is the process, but that cannot be undertaken unless one has imbibed this spirit, Trinadapi Sunichena. Without imbibing the mood of consider, at least accepting that I am less than grass, lower than grass, unless one can accept to be more tolerant than a tree, to offer respect to others and not desire respect for oneself, then one cannot take part in the Sankirtan Yajna of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Bhanam Tusha Krishnam Sangopam Nastra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtanai Praya Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, Bhagavan is to be worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. To take part in that Sankirtan Yajna, one does not require to be a very great brahmana, but one has to become very humble. And unless one can at least begin to imbibe this mood, he cannot actually take part in Sankirtan Yajna. Even though one may, due to some mundane piety, one may be attracted to what he thinks is chanting the holy names, but one cannot actually enter into Sankirtan Yajna unless one imbibes humility. So not everything that appears to be Sankirtan is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means complete glorification of Bhagavan Hari. Now there are many people who chant the names of Krishna, but that is not Sankirtan. Persons who do so, for instance, thinking that their bogus guru is Bhagavan, and that by chanting the names of Krishna and Govinda they're glorifying him, that is not Sankirtan. Until recently, here in South India, the chanting of Vishnu Sahasranam was very widespread. Even, say, 15 years ago, early in the morning, everywhere we used to hear the chanting of Vishnu Sahasranam. Then gradually they put this, instead of chanting, people put this cassette. And then they changed the cassette to some rock and roll cassette or cinema music cassette. But until recently, that was very prominent here in South India. Either we'd hear regularly early in the morning from every house, either Vishnu Sahasranamam or Venkateshwar Suprabhatam. But even though that's nice, but that's certainly a lot better than playing the cinema music, but that was not Sankirtan in the sense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taught. Because the smarter understanding is that we should chant the names of Vishnu to get free from the results of sinful activities. Smarters, they are attached to the external Vedic process. Smarta means not only Brahmana, but generally what we call, what Hindus used to be more, large section of Smarta. So that idea was there that, yes, it's good to chant the names of Vishnu, because then we will be free from sinful results. But that idea was there, we shall perform Karma Kandiya Yajnas, and then maybe at some point in future, we hope long in the future, we might get Gyan and then get Mukti. So such chanting, that form, chanting of the Lord's names with this understanding, this falls within the realm of Punya Karma, which is also mixed with Aparadha. This mundane Punya Karma, it's always mixed with aparad, because the very concept that I shall enjoy separately from Vishnu, or even I shall enjoy the material world with the blessings of Vishnu, the very attitude is opposite to aradhana, therefore it is called aparadha. Some years ago, some of our devotees went to Kanchi, and there they visited the revered Sri Chandrasekharendra. So when he saw them, he asked them, then these were Indian devotees, of course, he probably wouldn't have allowed Westerners to come too close to him. Because if he did, he'd have to do so many purification rites afterwards. So actually, he would be purified by seeing the Western devotees, but that he couldn't understand. Anyway, he said that, so where is your Nimai? Referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they had some discussion, and on leaving he said, may the holy name shine all over the world. So he was appreciative of the Sankirtan. But his appreciation doesn't come anywhere near any real understanding of why the Sankirtan movement should be appreciated.
Mayavadi understanding is that yes, bhakti is very good.
You do bhakti and then when you become more advanced, then you realize, then you, by bhakti you come to the platform of jnana. Then you realize that, oh, all that puja is doing, that's meant for me.
Offering the arti, then all of a sudden, ding, nirvana, then you offer to yourself.
This is not bhakti. Bhakti means to understand that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. The Mayavadi understanding of bhakti has completely spoiled bhakti. The idea that you choose any god because you need some object of concentration, so that later you can give up the idea of any sagun brahma and come to the platform of nirgun brahma, which has no attributes. It's all anti-bhakti, and it's worse because it pretends to be bhakti. So this apparent bhakti can never be trinadapi sunich bhav yukta. It is, even it is apparently humble, it is all from the platform of horrible ahankar, that I am worshipping some form which has not really got any form, but ultimately I am the supreme. It's all nonsense and highly offensive. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direction that one should consider oneself more humble than a blade of grass, this concept is not understandable by persons who have never associated with devotees. Even though persons may chant the holy names of Krishna, if they don't associate with devotees, they can never actually perform kirtan. But then again, to associate with devotees, one requires some basic humility. Just like people were criticizing when the Western devotees first came to India. They saw so many faults, but they didn't see that these people are sincerely chanting the names of Krishna. They couldn't understand that by the one qualification of sincerely chanting the names of Krishna, all their disqualifications, apparent disqualifications, they become unimportant. People are thinking, I'm a Brahmana from birth, I'm a Hindu, I know so many shlokas, and these people, they can't even say one word of Sanskrit properly. And then, what are they going to teach me? So this materialistic vision of a Vaishnava disqualifies one from bhakti. Vaishnava jati buddhi naraki vaisaha. One who judges a Vaishnava in terms of their external qualification is a resident of hell. One who thinks like that cannot understand Vishnu. He will think Vishnu is stone. You see the deity and cannot understand this is Krishna. Although may be attracted to Vishnu bhakti, but his attraction is according to the materially conceived, the material conception of bhakti. Whatever people think is bhakti, that is all contaminated by all these Mayavadi and Karmakandya ideas. The people bring their materialistic conceptions to, and they can say, this is bhakti. So also for preaching Krishna consciousness, we may take this into account. And thus we build very big temples. Actually, this is not required for bhakti. For bhakti, kirtan is required. For kirtan is not required to have very big temples. But because people are fools, they think that if there's a big temple, then it must be very important. They cannot recognize the importance of a Vaishnava. So if they say, oh, it has a very big temple and all very educated people and they're all, so many rich people are going there, they think, oh yes, this is very good. But they cannot recognize who is actually a Vaishnava. There may be someone very sincere Vaishnava, but they don't have the qualification to recognize them. Once, this was while in Vrindavan, during the period when Krishna Balaram Mandir was under construction,
So someone asked Srila Prabhupada that, well, you're supposed to be a follower of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa and the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are famous for being so renowned that they would sleep under a different tree each night. And you are building this big temple. It seems to be contradictory. Prabhupada said, this temple is not for me. It's for the glorification of Krishna Balaram. And that's especially for foolish people like you. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Prabhupada didn't exactly say like this. But the intent was there. That if I was to sit under a tree, you wouldn't come and listen to what I have to say. But if I build a big temple, people think, oh, very important, Swami, okay, let's go and listen. Actually, that's a fact. Prabhupada was preaching in India before he went to the West. Before he went to the West and after he came back, he was the same Prabhupada. He didn't become a greater devotee by going to America. But people thought, they were not able to recognize previously. So then they began to take him a little bit seriously. Shota, Vyadini, Raj, and many things to hear about. So, actually entering into Sankirtan Yajna, one has to enter the fire. What is offered in the fire? Ramarpanam Brahmavya. Brahmagna. What is offered in the transcendental fire? That must be transcendental. So that butter, that ghee that's re-offered, that has to be taken from pure cows and so many considerations. In the Sankirtan Yajna, we have to offer ourselves. But ourself has to have this pre-qualification of initial humility must be there. Chaito Darpana Marjanam, the first effect of the Sankirtan Yajna is cleansing of the mirror of the heart. But one cannot actually enter the fire unless one has at least some initial desire for the heart to be cleansed. If one brings one's material concepts, then he cannot enter the Sankirtan. To enter the Sankirtan Yajna, one has to hear Shravanam. By hearing, one can begin to understand what is required. If one brings one's material concepts, then one may think of the Sankirtan Yajna as another means of increasing one's ahankar. Material consciousness is the opposite of trunadapi sunichina. In every situation, in material consciousness, we're always trying to promote our sense gratification, our prestige. So it is quite possible that we may bring such concepts into Sankirtan also. But then it won't be Sankirtan. If we are performing or chanting the holy names, but we may be thinking, or chanting the holy names, apparently serving Krishna, but thinking how to increase my prestige, or how to be noticed by others. Such thoughts may be there even in apparent Sankirtan. Then it's not Brahmahavi. It's not a spiritual endeavor. What is the difference between spiritual and material? Spiritual means the desire to satisfy Krishna, the transcendental desire to satisfy the transcendental senses of Krishna. But one can never satisfy Krishna unless one genuinely desires to do so. That genuine desire to serve Krishna comes about by association with persons who have the genuine desire to serve Krishna. Bhaktistu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate. Bhakti comes about by association with persons who have bhakti. Now, even all the processes of bhakti are given, but without that bhakti, without that genuine bhakti bhav, then it will all simply be a show. So this is what our acharyas teach. The acharyas, they give knowledge of bhakti. They teach us the processes of performing bhakti. But most important, they transmit bhakti bhav, or the genuine desire to serve Krishna. That imparting of bhakti bhav, that comes about by association.
knowledge of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and of the processes of Krishna consciousness, that may be formulated in words. And to some extent, the symptoms of bhakti bhav, they can also be formulated in words. And that is described in Shastra, just like Rupa Goswami has given the symptoms of bhava bhakti. But that genuine bhakti bhav, the desire to serve Krishna without any personal profit or self-motivation, that can be imbibed by associating with persons who have it. By that association means in a submissive mood. And hearing, one has to be careful how to choose association. But if one can recognize a devotee who can help one, then one can be very quickly become fully spiritualized and enter into the spiritual consciousness, the consciousness of always desiring to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. Yep. Then one can appreciate the transcendental nature of the Sankirtan Yoga, in which one sees Mridanga, Kartal, this is all the paraphernalia of Sankirtan Yoga. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he designed the logo for the Gaudiya Mission. And he put in there the item, the arati plate, and the kartal and mridanga, and also the printing press. So people are thinking, well, we can understand why there's the arati paraphernalia, why there's mridanga kartal, but why the printing press? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he arranged for the printing press to be in within his mat. He considered the printing of transcendental literature to be rag margiya bhakti, the bhakti on the path of spontaneity. The arati, that is the on the vidhi marg leading to Vaikuntha, but the printing press, that is the rag marg leading to Radha and Krishna. Just like the mridanga is the eternal paraphernalia for worshipping Bhagavan Sri Gaurasandha Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by kirtan. So the printing press is the brihat mridanga, the great mridanga. So that printing press can be used for producing vulgar literature. But when used for printing Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's fully spiritual. Just like you can take the ghee and fry fish in it. But that same, the ghee, that should be offered to Krishna, that becomes fully spiritual. So our endeavor should be fully spiritual. Samapayami, we offer our very being into the Sankirtan Yoga. Hare Krishna.